Open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. We're going to get there. And last week it's always great to have the full house. And I always love seeing families worship together. And so when you see multi-generations gathered to sing and to praise God and be challenged by His Word, it's just encouraging. And then you start noticing how we have that weekly too. We have some families here, multi-generations, worshiping together and encouraging each other in God's Word. And so I love being able to see that. It's great to hear those who did all they could to invite people to Easter service. We invite them to more services than that, but Easter is kind of the one that people are programmed to feel religiously required to go. And so we want them to go where they're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so if you did, if you worked in someone and you tried to get someone here and they didn't come, don't be discouraged. You remain faithful. You keep trying. Don't stop. Often it takes time of consistency. Sometimes it takes time of them seeing that you really care about them. It takes time for them to see that your life is serious about a walk with Jesus Christ. It takes time of you praying, humbled before God. It takes time of you being faithful. And then sometimes God lets you see the fruit of your labor. And them coming to church, asking questions about His Word, or maybe getting saved and baptized. And then we as a church celebrate together that God allowed us to see that and be a part of that. See, what happened last week on Easter is the FBC 2024 theme, One More. Trying to reach one more with the gospel. Trying to put the seed of the gospel in the heart of one more. If you remember, we started this year with three messages on the theme. And if you realize the first quarter of this year is complete, you realize a quarter of 2024 is over? Anybody else notice that, or did I just ruin your year? It's just flying by. And so it's already been a quarter of the year gone. And so I want to continue and jump into those because it's been great to hear of people that have taken this theme serious, wanting to reach one more. Maybe you shared how you invited someone to church. Man, that's encouraging that you took it serious and you're trying to get them to church. Bring them maybe even to a special service. Some have witnessed to friends. See, that's the next step. That's the Great Commission, where you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone. Some have been praying for specific people. And some I've already got to see some of the fruit of the labor. And the neat thing is when you see that fruit, it makes you want to go for more, doesn't it? It makes you want to invite more. Everybody good? Good. And I saw somebody jump, and I was scared. So rest assured, if you want to see people saved, if you're letting God work in and through you, He's going to use you. He's going to bless you by using you. And so, a while back I had someone come to me that was checking out our church, thinking about what to do. And they asked me the question, do I preach and push the Great Commission? It's a hard question to answer because I said, not necessarily those verses. Because the Great Commission is directly given in five places in Scripture. But that's not all I preach on. The truth is, the Great Commission is all over Scripture, though. Reaching people for Christ is the heart of God. Preaching the gospel, leading people to Jesus, displaying His love in our lives. Because this man was tired of hearing of the Great Commission. And Proverbs 11:30 tells us this. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. You see, if you're a wise person, follower of Christ, one that is letting Him transform you and work in you, Your life becomes life for others because through your life and through your words, people see the gospel of Jesus Christ and can come to know the true life in Jesus. You see, for the believer, the Great Commission is not optional. It's part of us. It's who we are. It's our excitement. Today I want us to look in Acts chapter 10 to a man that in Sunday school about 7 months ago we broke down in detail. And so we got in Sunday school, we can get into a lot more detail and we can talk it out and share. But this is a story that's very encouraging to those who want to win souls. If you really want to see people saved, it's an encouraging story to see how God worked. But it's also frustrating to those that want to say that good religious people don't need salvation, don't need to call on Jesus for salvation. Oh, well, they're good. And this story will mess that all up. So in Acts chapter 10, let's start off with just the first two verses. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us, for being right here with us. We thank you that so much we can celebrate together. We thank you that we can come to you and know that you're a faithful God. We thank you for your word that directs us, that teaches us, that lets us have that relationship with you that we desire. And Lord, I ask that today you would work in our hearts. If there's someone here that's never called on you for salvation, never placed their faith in you, they would see their need for salvation today. Lord, I ask that you give me the words to say and each one of us soft hearts to listen and to act. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. This man, Cornelius, it's a fascinating story, and it's going to take us a few weeks to really work through it. But we just want to start off with this here, because in this passage, we meet a man. And the first point I want to see is Cornelius, the good old boy. The good old boy. If you notice in this passage, Cornelius was a good old boy. He was a lot like the people that we know and love. Many of our very own town folk. Humiston is full of good old people, isn't it? I love it. Now remember, I came from St. Louis. Humiston is full of good old folks, okay? Easy to get along with. Good people. And this man, Cornelius, he is from Caesarea. Now, you say it how you want to. I'm going to butcher that name every time I say it. But this was a major city in a Roman province. And he was a centurion. That was a military leader. And the word "cen" means 100. He was over 100 men, mostly Italian, and that's why they called it the Italian Band, because of where they came from. And we see he's a man of power, a man of leadership, a man that people listen to, a man people respected. You know that type of man? When he speaks, say, "Yes, sir." When he gave an order, they obeyed. When he said jump, you didn't say hi, you gave him your best, right? Because he's that type of man. He was powerful. He was respected. But guess what? He's not a Jew. He's a Gentile man. He's a good man. Verse 22 tells us he has a good reputation. People know him as a good man. We saw here, I think in verse 2 tells us he's a devout man. He's devoted. He's reverent. He's committed. If he claimed to love something, he was all in. He was faithful. How often do we claim to love something? When we feel like loving it. Is that love? No, this man was devoted. He was committed to that he claimed to love. His worship was sincere. It continued. Verse 2 also tells us he fears God with all of his household. Wow. This is a reference that he placed God in the right position. He feared God. He understood who God is. He made him king and ruler. to reference the meaning that he abandoned his family idols, his worldly ways, to obey this God of the Jews. See, he acknowledged the true God. And somehow he came to know this God of the Jews that he wanted to follow. So he put away his ungodly ways. He broke his family chains. He threw away the little statues. He stopped bowing his knees to the sun, moon, and stars. He threw away his family carvings of gods because he wanted to obey and honor the Jew, the God of the Jews. And he followed. He led his family to follow suit. Wow, what a guy. Now a question for you. Why would a Gentile man fear the God of the Jews? Why would he want to pursue the God of the Jews? He's not a Jew. He doesn't even live in Jerusalem. He's some distance away. Scripture doesn't tell us directly, but I'm guessing that he got to watch the work of this Jewish God. He heard stories of how this Jewish God protected his people. He heard what was handed down and passed down to him, how God had blessed his people. He probably saw how this God loved and transformed his people. His knowledge probably started by watching those who worship this Jewish God. And he decided, this is the true God. This is the God I want to worship. Does that not sound much on the way we need to reach souls? With our sincerity and worship of Jesus Christ, so that we can proclaim Jesus and people will listen, it starts with our lives. It starts with our lives. But you see, in Cornelius' desperate desire to honor God, what did he start to do? Verse 2. He gave much alms to the people. He was a generous man. He gave to the needy. He gave and was a blessing to others. He was a generous man. We serve a generous God, don't we? That gave his only begotten son. You see, and look what else he did in verse 2. He prayed, how often? Always. He prayed always, not just at dinner time, not just in time of trouble, not just on that time that you had a final exam at school. He prayed always. He learned to bow to God. He would pray to God and give praise. He prayed for decisions he had to make. He didn't pray after he messed up the decision. He prayed before he made the decision. He prayed to celebrate what God has done. He prayed at work. He prayed at school. He prayed at home. He prayed without ceasing. That's a command for you and I, to pray without ceasing. You and I are commanded to pray this way. And I believe that if we prayed this way more, if we prayed deeper, if we prayed more sincerely, if we prayed with more humility, we wouldn't get into most of the trouble that we're asking God to bail us out of. If we'd ask God to lead us, we wouldn't have to tell him to rescue us. And here's a man that prayed always. I think with this, we can see Cornelius was a good old boy, wasn't he? He was a good man. We would not mind him as our neighbor, as a church member, as a friend. We'd probably nominate him as pastor, deacon, Sunday school teacher. But here's a problem. He's not a man of God yet. He's not a man of God yet. He's a religious man. Understand this, knowing of God isn't enough. The devil knows of God. The devil fears God. Scripture tells us that. Doing good things isn't enough. Give all your money away. Remember, Paul said that in 1 Corinthians, though I give my body to be burned, have not love, it's nothing. Listen, you can give all you want away. It's not enough. Praying alone isn't enough. Your faith must be in Jesus Christ. Jesus is God who's died for our sins. He's resurrected according to the Scriptures. And Romans chapter 10 is very clear that we must have faith in this. There must be a time that you call on the name of Jesus for salvation, where you are born again according to John chapter 3. You're born into an eternal life. That is a man of God who come to him in faith. So this good old boy, I want to look at the second part here, Cornelius' pursuit. I think in the first two verses, Cornelius wants to know God. He wants to honor God. He wants to pursue God. But what is God's promise to those who pursue him? James 4:8 tells us, draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. The promise of God, you draw nigh unto God. You pursue God. You have a desire to walk with God. He's going to give you that chance. See, when a man truly wants to honor God, God's going to provide the gospel to him. He's going to make a way for the gospel to arrive to that man, to know God's will, to have God's peace. See, because God wants a relationship with every person. How much so? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants a relationship with all. So if you want to be right with God, he's going to give you the message of the gospel. Pursue him, and he's going to make himself known to you. Catch that? Pursue him, and he will make himself known to you. When someone says, I just can't get peace with God. God just won't answer me. The question is, first off, is are you seriously pursuing God? Or are you using him as a wishing well? Are you pursuing a relationship with him, or do you just want him to bring satisfaction to your desires? Because even when he doesn't give you the direct answer, he can give you peace where you're at. He'll give you his joy. How much time are you studying God's word? How much time are you on your knees before him in humbled prayer? And how much are you applying the truth you have learned from his word? Accept his peace. If you're drawn nigh unto him, he will show himself to you. He will show you that a relationship with him is enough. He's going to make himself known to you. And in Cornelius' pursuit here, because of Cornelius' heart, because of Cornelius' desire, because he wants to honor and obey God, God's going to direct him. God's going to warn him. God's going to tell him how to receive what he truly needs. So let's read a couple more verses. Look at verse 3. He, this is Cornelius here, saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked at him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose name is Peter. See, God sent Cornelius a vision. It says about 3 o'clock or the ninth hour of the day, because the day starts at 6 o'clock. Evidently, he says there, not as in a word of sarcasm, but this is trying to be very clear and plain. There was no doubt where this vision was from. It was very evident. It wasn't a simple dream. It was not intoxication. It wasn't indigestion from Taco Bell. You see, Cornelius was scared in verse 4. When his vision came to him from God, he was scared to death. Because these visions for God were very graphic, strong, and powerful. Remember, this is before the written word of God was complete, so God revealed himself in this way to him. And these visions were graphic. They were powerful. Often, the person receiving them would fear that that was a judgment of God and he was about to die. But here God sends his angel with a message, a very good message. And you notice Cornelius' response? Do you see what he said there in verse 4? What is it, Lord? Yes, Lord. What should I do, Lord? Very humble response, isn't it? Lord, I'm ready to receive it. Give me what you want to tell me. Teach me. Guide me. You ever respond this way to God's word after you spend time in quiet time? Maybe after the preaching of God's word and a sermon? That you just humbly say, God, how do you want me to apply this to my life? Not a, hey, God, I'm going to twist this because I don't think that's how it works anymore today. Not a, well, I don't believe I should have to do it that way. Or, God, I'm not going to do that because my husband does this. Yeah? Or, well, God, you didn't hear what Pastor said, did you? No, how about we humble ourselves and say, God, direct that passage to my life. Transform me with your word. You see the humility here in Cornelius here, Lord? What do you want me to do? I'm ready. Reminds me of someone in the Old Testament. But here I am, Lord. Excuse me. There he is, Lord. Whatever you want, I will submit. In other words, we hear from God in the reading of God's word and saying, instead of saying, well, I got better ways, we say, I need to line my life up better. Instead of justifying my sin, I say, man, I need to get rid of this sin. What humility in this man. I love this story for this fact right here. We see a man humbled. His heart has already been soaked because he's watched believers. He knows he needs this relationship with this God. And God's going to give him a way to hear. Because if we sincerely approach God with a soft heart, he will truly guide us, teach us. He's going to lead us. And he's always going to do this according to his word. God will never lead you against his word. If you ever get an inkling or direction from a spirit that is contrary to God's word, that wasn't the spirit of God. But understand there's powers of darkness that want to guide you too, that want to lead you, that come from the one that seeketh whom he may devour. God will always lead you according to his word. God didn't lead you to cheat on your taxes. Now, I'm not saying pay the government any more than you have to. You get every penny back you can. I'm saying that. Okay? I'm sick of the way they're spending my money. I'm going to get every penny I can, but I ain't going to lie about it. Okay? God ain't leading you to commit adultery. He hates adultery so much so that that's what he told Jerusalem they were doing and were serving idols. God ain't leading you to dishonor your husband because he's a jerk. That's contrary to God's word. God ain't leading you to be rude to your wife because she's... Let's just leave it there. My wife's in the house. My wife makes it real easy to love, though, okay? Did you hear that? Okay. Because if it's contrary to God's word, your opinion does not matter. God didn't have first, second, third book of opinions. He had his holy word. And if you think you could go contrary to it, you will look God in the eyes one day and say, well, I had a better your idea, God. No, I'll tell you what, you're going to fall on your knees and say, I'm sorry, Lord. I don't say this out of anger. I say this out of love. Please understand, this is God's word. This is God's calling to you and I to humbly submit to him and say, Lord, teach me. Teach me. Because when we do it our way is how we ended up sinful anyway. When we did it our way is how we violate the holiness of God. So when you get this idea, well, that's old-fashioned. You be careful. That's what God's calling us to, is to his word. Guide me. Remember, Cornelius did not have the completed word, but he had the sincere heart. He has the desire to honor and obey God. And his angel's message that came to him in verse 4 says, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for memorial before God. He says, listen, God has seen your heart. God knows your sincerity. See, Cornelius wanted a life to honor God. And God heard his prayers. God has seen his good works. God knows the reason Cornelius does what he does. But no matter how sincere and how good of a guy he was, he needs the right understanding of Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Same with you and I. You need the right understanding of Jesus Christ. Not just some Jesus out there. Not just some Jesus that somebody else designed, but you are responsible to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. You are responsible to open God's word and see who this Jesus is. Amen. That's on you and I, personally. And because of his desire to come to know Jesus, he didn't have the opportunity having the book written yet. He only had the Old Testament to know. He didn't understand that Jesus had come already. He did not understand that Jesus had fulfilled the Old Testament and all the law. But because of Cornelius' heart, the angel of God gives a command in verse 5. He says, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Did you catch what the message was? Send for Peter. Go call Peter. And so there's no confusion. Here's where he's at. Wow. God answered the desire of Cornelius' heart. He wants to know God, and God says, here's how you're going to do it. Call for Peter. You catch why he's going to call for Peter? Look at the verse, end of verse 6. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Not he will tell you what you want to hear. He's not going to tickle your fancy. He's not going to tell you a good joke. He's going to tell you the truth. He's not going to water it down. He's not going to avoid the hard parts. Peter's going to be honest. He's going to hurt your feelings. You ever had preaching of God's word that's made you mad? Yeah, you bunch of liars. No, I'm just kidding. That wasn't preaching. That was personal. I have. I've heard preaching. I'm like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Then you go home and you study the word and you pray about it. Over time, God says, told you. Told you, sometimes you got to get over yourself, don't you? Got to get over your own desires. You got to get over what mama told you and daddy told you. And listen to what the word of God tells you. He says, call for Peter because Peter's going to shoot you straight. Peter's going to give you what you need, not what you want. This is what Cornelius wants at this point. He wants to know how to know God. Many people say, oh, I can handle it. Give it to me straight. When people say that, I'm like, oh, geez. Oh, because then they get mad or hurt when you tell them and give it to them straight. They're like a man with a backbone until that backbone stands up against them. But anybody ever studied Peter? He didn't care. He didn't care if you're going to get upset. He didn't care if you're going to get mad. He didn't care if you're going to reject him. He's going to tell you how it is. I hope that I don't care what you want, but that I do care to deliver what God gives me to deliver. Because I trust that as much as you might get mad right now and your toes might get stomped on, when you go home in your intimacy with God, he will show you in his word and he will comfort your heart. And in the long run, you'll say, thank you for preaching that. I've heard that right here in this church before. But I've never heard that before. I remember one of our dirty talks when I got on the sex talk. Don't worry, not going there today. I had a lady come up to me. I think she was in her late 80s. But you're always scared what they're going to tell you. She said, I sure wish someone would have preached that when I was a teenager. Let's quit being shy talking about the hard parts. Because we need it. We need to touch all of our lives. Let's quit nitpicking, oh, this would feel good. I would like, oh, I want you to preach on this verse. No, trust me. I spend time in prayer so that I know. After last week's service, I got home and told Amy, I have no clue what I'm going to preach on next week. That's unusual. Lately, I've had one series lined up, ready to go, and I didn't know. I didn't have a clue. That takes time of prayer. God, give it to me. I don't know. And then he gives me something that's going to take me weeks to preach, and that's good. But you see here, God's going to provide the desire of your heart if you're pursuing him. The truth is the direction and the guidance that God gives is where we need to go. God's making a way for Cornelius here to know the gospel of Jesus Christ instead of just knowing religion. And sometimes that's what people in here need. Is you need to know that you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to humble yourself to the cross and call on him for salvation rather than trying to do all the good things and looking like a good person and having a big Bible, having memorized verses, singing louder than a person. No, stop and accept the work that is completed in Jesus Christ by calling out to him, humbling yourself. I don't care how long you've been in this church. I don't care that you were raised here, that you've taught here, that you've preached here. You need to place faith in Jesus. And if you've never done it, humble yourself now. Quit waiting because you don't know that there's a tomorrow. And so I make this plea from all my heart. Be honest with yourself and evaluate your relationship with God. Look at Cornelius' relationship, reaction. The third point is Cornelius' reaction when God told him what to do. When God told him, listen, you want to know the truth? You want to know me? You want to truly be fulfilled? Because understand, if you're trying to go by your own works in salvation, you're never going to be fulfilled because you will never be righteous. Because you're always going to be trying to weigh out your goodness. With, oh, I messed up. I better do a little more good. Huh. Isn't it nice to get rid of that? And God tells him how he's going to settle his relationship with him. Now, here's the problem. It's going to require some work on Cornelius' part. He's going to have to gather the men and send them out to get Peter. He's going to have to wait for days for Peter to return. And he's going to hope that once the men get to Peter, Peter agrees to come. Because understand, a Jew would never enter the home of a Gentile. It was actually illegal. We got into this more in Sunday school. You should have been there, huh? But often when God provides, we don't see the blessing because we're too lazy to do the work. God, provide for my finances. I'm broke. No, I don't want another job, Lord. I want someone to die and give me millions. Did I say that out loud? You were thinking it anyway. You know it. But I'm not lying, am I? We don't want to wait for his timing. Patience, Lord, I've got patience. Just don't make me wait. Right? I don't want God to wait in healing my loved one. I want him to heal him now. I want to understand all of God's word. You ever been frustrated just wanting to understand God's word as you study? It takes time. It takes consistency. It takes faithfulness. That's why in 2 Timothy it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Shows thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed. Guess what? Intimacy with God takes time, takes effort. It takes you pursuing him in his word. Not salvation. Salvation is done for you. But really drawing intimate with God, it takes us pursuing him in his word, getting to know him. And Cornelius' reaction here when he's told by the angel to go and get Peter. Let's finish up real quick here in verse 7. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that wait on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Cornelius didn't sit around and examine the idea. He didn't do the math of, well, how much is this going to cost me? I'm going to send servants out. I'm going to send a guard with them. He didn't sit complaining about the travel time. He's going to have to wait. They didn't have Amazon delivery at that time. Oh. They didn't ask the angel for guarantees. Well, what happens if I send my guys, he don't come back? No. He heard, and since he knew this message was from God, immediately he was obedient. He gathered some servants, explained the importance of this task, and said, go get Peter. Go get the message of the gospel for me. Go get what I want. Obedience to God is one of the highest importance to you and I. If we want to receive what God has for us, we need to respond like Cornelius. When we know a message is from God, there's no time to wait. No time to goof around. No time to take it lightly. We must answer immediately. And just three quick thoughts in application of this message. First off is no matter how good a person is, no matter how great their actions are, how kind their speech is, no matter how much religious activities they practice, they must know Jesus as the Scripture teaches. They must place their faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. The second thing to understand is when we truly pursue God, when we truly have a desire to know God, to honor God, to obey God, He will guide us. That's why the book of James tells us when we need wisdom, you pray and God will answer. God will give us the peace and the joy in all situations when we're intimate with Him, when our desire to walk with Him is sincere and humble. And then the third thing is when we hear from God, our response must be immediate. Because delayed obedience is disobedience. If we truly want to honor God, we'll obey as soon as we know the message is from Him. And then we watch Him bless by teaching and using us. Would you stand with me? As we're going to close in a song that hopefully is a challenge to each of us. As the desire of our life is to trust and obey. Trust and obey. As we leave this house today, we all have a choice. Is do I trust God's word? We can all claim we trust God's word, but the evidence is in the pudding, right? Do I apply it to my life? Am I obedient to it? Do I submit to it? So if you trust it, what are you going to do? When apply it. I'm going to obey God's word. So sing first and third and fifth verse with us.